الذبائح من معز وضأن أو بقر أو إبل يتقرب بذلك لإرضاء الله، هذا هو النسك. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين، يعني أنا مملوك لله لا أعبد غيره، إذا صليت فإنما أصلي لوجه الله جل وعلا، وإذا ذبحت أبتغي بالذبح التقرب إلى الله، فلا يكون ذلك إلا لله. ومعنى هذا أنه لو صلى إنسان صلاة يتعبد بها لآخر كانت صلاة فاسدة لا تقبل، ولا يكفي أنها لا تقبل، لو مات على ذلك لكان من أهل النار. ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له، لما قال نصراتي ونسقي لله رب العالمين هذا يقتضي أيضا أنه لا شرك فيه، ومع ذلك أكد المولى جل وعلا لا شريك له، وهذا ليس باختيار العباد وإنما ذلك بأمر الله لا شريك له، وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين، هذا خطاب الله جل وعلا نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، يقول أخبر قومك، وكان العرب يذبحون لأصنامهم وأوثانهم، قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت. الله أمر أن نعبده وأن لا نعبد غيره، وساق رحمة الله عليه فصلي لربك وانحر، يعني الصلاة لله والنحر. النحر يكون فيه نحر يتقرب به، وفيه نحر للأكل، ما كان نحر ليؤكل ليأكله الناحر وهو أهله وذووه أو من يكرمهم أو ضيوفه، فهذا لا يسمى شركا، لكن لا بد أن لا يسمي غير الله في الذبح، بل عليه أن يقول بسم الله. فصلي لربك وانحر، يعني الذبح. كانت العرب عندها ذبائح وعندها هدي، ويهدون إلى الكعبة وينحرون، لكنهم كانوا يشركون بالله، وكانوا يدافعون عن أنفسهم ويقولون إنما نشرك نتقرب بشركنا إلى من نتقرب إليهم ليقربون إلى الله، سفه الله رأيهم. ذكر المؤلف رحمة الله عليه حديث علي بن أبي طالب ابن عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال حدثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأربع كلمات، قال لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله، يعني من ذبح لغير الله ومات على هذه العبادة لعنه الله، معنى لعنه حرمه الرحمة، من حرم الرحمة فما قره نار جهنم، لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله. في الجاهلية كانت الذبائح قد تكون للأصنام، وفي وقتنا يعني فيما بعد صار كثير من الذبائح الشركية تذبح للأولياء، صدقة للولي فلان توزع على سدنته، فمن مات على هذه العقيدة كان من أهل النار، ومعنى من أهل النار من الساكنين فيها، وإلا فإن النار يمرها ويدخل أحد ولو كانوا من أهل التوحيد. إذا كانت لهم معاصٍ يعصون الله بها من سرقات، من زنا، من خمور، شرب خمور، من خيانات أخرى. الخيانة التي لا ينفع معها عمل إذا مات عليها الإنسان هي خيانة العقيدة، خيانة العبادة لغير الله. لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله، يعني طرده من رحمة الله. لعن الله من لعن والديه. الوالدان لا أحد بعد الله جل وعلا، يعني وبعد رسوله، له مثل فضل الوالدين. ولهذا أوصى الله جل وعلا ببرهما في القرآن الكريم كما في سورة النساء: اعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا. وفي سورة الإسراء: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا، وفي غيرها: أن اشكر لي ولوالديك. لكن اللي يلعن والديه هذا لعنه الله، ولعن الله أمر فظيع. الناس قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كيف يلعن الرجل والديه؟ لأنهم كانوا يعرفون حق الوالدين، وكانوا يتمادحون في الإحسان إلى الوالدين وبرهما. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: يسب أبا الرجل فيسب أباه، ويسب أم الرجل فيسب أمه. كان يقول شخص لآخر: لعن الله والدك، فيكون ذاك يجيب: لعن الله والدك. يقول: لعن الله أمك. يقول: لعن الله أمك. لما استنكر الصحابة قالوا: كيف يسب الواحد والديه؟ قال: يسب أبا الرجل فيسب أباه، ويسب أمه فيسب أمه. ولذلك لما يتجرأ الواحد على لعن آباء وأمهات الآخرين كأنما يعرض أمه وأباه لمن يلعنهما، فيكون مستحقا للعقوبة. يقول: لعن الله من آوى محدثا. آوى محدثا يعني أجاره، حفظ، دافع عن، منع أن يصاب بعقاب الحدث الذي فعل. فإن من أحدث حدثا يستوجب عقوبة شرعية لا يحل لأحد أن يدفع عنه. وإذا كانت الحاجة للناس، إذا أراد أن يدفع عنه يدفع لهم حقوقه. أما إنسان رفض أن يدفع عن الناس أمواله ولم يستطيعوا لأن فلانا أجاره وحماه، هذا الذي يحمي ويدافع عن المحدث للجور يكون ملعونا، واللعن هو الطرد من رحمة الله. آخر هذه المسائل الأربعة التي رواها علي رضي الله عنه خليفة الراشد رابع الخلفاء الراشدين، قال: لعن الله من غير منار الأرض. كيف يغير الواحد منار الأرض؟ المنار، منار الأرض هي الأعلام الدالة على انتهاء حد ملكك في مجاورة الآخرين. فإذا غير الواحد هذه الحدود وأدخل في ملك نفسه ما ليس له بسبب ما غير من الأعلام، يكون متعرضا للعنة الله. منار الأرض يعني كأن هذه العلامات كأنها نور تبين الفرق بين حد مال فلان وعمال فلان. فالذي يعبث ويزيل هذا العلم العلم الدال على انتهاء ملكه يدخل في ملكه من أملاك الآخرين أو لا يدخل في ملكه، يدخل في أملاك البعض من البعض الآخر متعمد ذلك، هذا ملعون، لأن ارتكاب هذا الذنب يدل على جرأة الواحد على مخالفة أمر الله، وإذا خالف أمر الله لم يحقق التوحيد، مثلا لا تخرج عن التوحيد، لأن كلما كمل توحيد الإنسان وكملت عبادته لله جل وعلا فيما بينه وبين الله وفيما بينه وبين الخلق صار قد حقق التوحيد. حديث طارق بن شهاب أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: دخل الجنة رجل في ذباب ودخل النار في ذباب. هؤلاء الناس الذين طريق الخلق عليهم الناس يمرون بهم لا يدخلون يدعون أحدا يمر من ذلك الطريق إلا بأن يدفع قربانا للصنم الذين هم يتقربون إليه. فمر شخص قال ما قرب، قال ما عندي شيء أقربه، يعني فقير لا سنة، قال قرب ولو ذبح هذه الحشرة بسيطة لا تساوي شيء. فقرب ذبابا فتركوه يمشي، فجاء الآخر قال أقرب، قال ما كنت لأقرب شيئا لغير الله، المقصود به قربان العبادة. فلما رفض قاموا وقتلوه. الأول لما قرب الذباب ومات كان مآله نار جهنم، والثاني الذي قال ما كنت لأقرب لأحد شيئا دون الله عز وجل ظلموا عنه فدخل جنة. الحديث هذا رواه الإمام أحمد أشار معلق أن ذلك بسند صحيح من طريق ابن شهاب عن سلمان الفارسي رضي الله عنه موقوف عليه والله أعلم. هذا الباب، هذا باب من ذبح لغير الله. هذه الذبائح التي تذبح لقبور الأولياء الذين يسمون أولياء، أولا ليس في الدنيا ولي من البشر مثل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا يذبح لقبره ذبائح، بل لما قال له أحد ما شاء الله وشئ غضب صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وقال أجعلتني لله ندا، يعني مماثلا، بل ما شاء الله وحده. فالذبح لغير الله هو من الشرك الأكبر، الشرك الأكبر من مات عليه لا أمر بأن يغفر له، فإن الله يقول في الكتاب الكريم ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما حضرت أبا طالب الوفاة، وأبو طالب عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكان جادا في حماية النبي، ولم تستطع قريش أن تنال من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا في حياة أبي طالب. لما حضرت الوفاة جاء إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكان عند أبي طالب أبو جهل بن شهاب وأمية بن خلف، وهما من أساطين الشرك، فما كان من النبي إلا أن قال لعمه: يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أشهد لك بها عند الله. فما كان من الشقيين إلا أن قال: أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب عبد المطلب هو أبو أبي طالب. فأعاد النبي عليه الكلمة فأعادها ثالثة فأعادها، فقال أبو طالب أنا على ملة عبد المطلب فأنا أمات. النبي لما قال رفض يستجيب قال لا أستغفرن لك ما لم أنهى عنك. لما مات على الشرك صار النبي ممن نهوا أن يستغفر المشركين. الشرك الأكبر هو أعظم ذنب يقع على وجه الأرض. سئل النبي أي الذنب أعظم؟ فقال عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقه. يعني أن الشخص المفروض أنه ما يتقرب إلى أحد ليسترضيه إلا إذا كان صاحب الفضل الأكبر عليه. فإذا جعل جل ما يريد أنه تذلل جعله للمخلوق وهما خلقه صار عمله ذلك أشنع الأعمال. فقال النبي للسائل أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقه، الله هو الذي خلق، فما دام أوجده من عدم هو الذي تكفل جل وعلا بكل حاجات المخلوق. في هذا الباب مسائل ذكرها المؤلف رحمة الله عليه. يقول الأولى تفسير قوله قل إن الصلاة ونسك، هذا هو سبق يعني أن قل الإنسان إن الصلاة ونسك يعني أن إنما أصلي لله جل وعلا وأذبح لله سبحانه وتعالى. إذا أراد أن يذبح ذبيحة يطلب برها وثوابها يذبحها لوجه الله، إذا أراد أن يأكلها يستريح ذبحها بالتسمية أن يقول بسم الله. لو قال باسم عيسى أو باسم الولي الفلاني حرم أكل الذبيحة. لو ذبح إنسان يدعي الإسلام ذبيحة من الذبائح وقال باسم السيد فلان لم تحل تلك الذبيحة صارت ميتة، لأن سبب استباحتها أن ترى اسم الله عليها عند ذلك. يقول تفسير فصل لربك والحول، صل لله وانسك النسيك الذبح لوجه الله. يقول الثالثة البداءة للعنة من ذبح لغير الله، لأن أعظم الذنوب الشرك الأكبر. فمن ذهب فبدأ النبي بهذه المسائل الأربع صدرها بالذبح لغير الله، ثم أتبعها بحقوق الوالدين، ثم أتبعها بنصر مرتكب الأمر المحرم، ثم ردع فيها بتغيير علامات انتهاء أملاك الناس من بعضها عن بعض. صدرها وكانت هي الأولى من الأربع لأنها أعظم الذنوب. ثم قال رحمة الله لعن من لعن والديه، ومنه أن تلعن والدي الرجل فيلعن والديك، أشار إلى الحديث اللي أشار إليه لما سئل كيف يلعن الرجل والديه. الخامسة لعن من آوى محدث وهو الرجل يحدث شيئا يجب فيه حق لله أو لخلق الله فيلتجي إلى من يجيره يعني يحميه ويذود عنه. انتهى بهذا ومكن الناس من حقوقهم يعني. الله جل وعلا يفرح بالمذنب أن يتوب. إذا ارتكب الإنسان ذنبا ثم تاب من ذلك الذنب توبة صادقة، إن كان الذنب الذي ارتكبه بينه وبين الله فالتوبة كافية يعني محوه، وإن كان الذنب بينه وبين الخلق إما بعرض انتهك عرضه أو بذنب بناية دموية أو بأخذ مال، فلا بد مع التوبة يعني ترك الذنب لا بد أن يرد الحقوق إلى أهلها. لعن الله الخامسة لعن من أرام القلب إلى أهلها. السادسة لعن من غير منهار وهي المراسيم. في لغتنا يسمى المرسام، لما يركز شيء إما في السابق كان الناس يركزون عند نهاية أملاك المولات، قد تكون أرض زراعية غير ذلك، إذا انتهى ملك فلان وضعوا أحجار يحفر لها في الأرض حجر يكون طويل، هذا يسمى مرسام ويسمى وثن. فنحن شيخ الإسلام ذكر ما كانت عليه لهجتنا في نجد، فقال لعن من غير منار الأرض، أي وهي المراسيم التي تفرق بين حقك وحق جارك من الأرض فتغيرها بتقديم أو تأخير، يعني حقك وحق جارك، أو تتدخل وتعطي من حق فلان شيئا لفلان وتغير المراسيم. هذه المنارات تسمى منار، منار الأرض يعني كأنها نور يعرف به انتهاء حق هذا من حق هذا. السابع الفرق بين لعن المعين ولعن أهل المعاصي على سبيل العموم، يعني ما تقول لعن الله فلان، لكن تقول لعن الله من فعل كذا وكذا، كون يقول لعن الله من غير من الأرض، أو لعن الله من لعن والديه، أو لعن الله من آوى محدثا، هذا يعني فيه صفة المجرم الذي توجه له اللعنة ولن نحدد من هو. يقول الثامنة هذه القصة العظيمة في قصة الذباب، يعني الذباب لا شيء، لا فيه فائدة، لا أكل ولا أي شيء، ومع ذلك من قربه ورضي بتقريبه أصحاب الوثن يكفيهم أن هذا يتذلل بوثنهم فيقرب ذبابه، ما فعل ذلك فدخل النار. والذي امتنع خوفا من الله وتعظيما لجانب التوحيد دخل الجنة لما قتل. وإن كان ذاك إنما فعل قرر هذا الذبل يتخلص من شره، لكن هل الشخص إذا ارتكب الذنب الكبير خائفا من قتله أن يقتل؟ الله ذكر بالنسبة للأمة الإسلامية أنها إذا أن الواحد إذا فعل الذنب قال كلمة الكفر ليتخلص من قتل من يريد أن يقتله، لكن قلبه مطمئن بالإيمان، وذكر إلا من فعل كذا وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. هل الشرك الأكبر يعذر به أحد؟ لا، من عبد غير الله لا يعذر بأنه ما علم، لكن من لم يصلي ما علم عن أمر الصلاة شيئا أبدا، كشخص سمع بالإسلام وعلم أن المسلم يعبد الله ولكن ما يدري كيف العبادة، هذا لا يعاقب حتى يعرف، إذا عرف فلم يؤدي العبادة لن تقبل منه دعوة أنهم. يقول العاشرة معرفة قدر الشرك في قلوب المؤمنين، يعني المؤمن لما قيل له قرب ولو ذباب قال لا ما أفعل هذا إلا الشيء الذي يرضاه الله جل وعلا. كيف صبر ذلك على القتل ولم يوافقهم على طلبهم مع كونهم لم يطلبوا إلا العمل الظاهر؟ والحادي عشر أن الذي دخل النار مسلم، لأنه لو كان كافر لم يقول دخل النار في ذباب، يعني لو كان كافرا دخل النار بالكفر الذي كان يصطحبه معه من قبل، لكنه دخله بسبب هذا الذباب الذي قربه لغير الله. لكن لو فرض أن إنسانا أشرك ثم ندم فتاة، هذا ينفعه التوبة، لأن الله يقول جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم، وأنيبوا إلى ربكم رجعا. من ارتكب الذنب ثم تاب منه توبة صادقة نفعت هذه التوبة، بل والله يقول: وإني لغفار لمن تاب. يقول الثانية عشرة: فيه شاهد للحديث الصحيح: الجنة أقرب إلى أحدكم من شراك نعله والنار مثل ذلك. يعني شراك النعل هو ما يربط بالنعل من الوضع التي يوضع عليها، الشراك هو الذي يربطها بحيث يستطيع الإنسان أن يسير فيها. الذي أخبر أن الجنة أقرب إلى أحدنا من شراك نعله والنار مثل ذلك، يعني من عمل العمل المؤدي لصاحبه إلى الجنة ومات عليه مهما كان إذا سلم من الشرك، والنار مثل ذلك. هذا الذي قتل الذباب قدمه لهم قربان ولم يظهر أنه تابع بعد ذلك، هذا دخل النار. وذاك الذي قال: ما كنت لأفعل، النبي ذكر أن من كانوا قبلنا أن الواحد منهم يمشط بأمشاط الحديد ما بين لحمه وعظمه فلا يصرفه ذلك عن دينه، وربما جاء بالمنشار فوضع في هامة رأسه وقيل له: إن لم تستجب لما يطلب منك من الكفر وإلا قسمناك اثنين نصفين. يقول النبي: ما يمنعه ذلك من دينه، يمتنع حتى لو وصل إلى الموت. يقول الثالثة عشرة: معرفة أن عمل القلب هو المقصود الأعظم حتى عند عبادة الأوثان. عباد الأوثان لو قال أنني أرضى بصنمكم ولم يقرب شيء، وهم قد اشترطوا أنه لا أحد يجتاز مع هذا الطريق إلا يقرب للصنم، أرادوا بأن يقرب لهم شيء لا نفع فيه، لكن يخضع بقلبه ونيته لهم. ولهذا حديث الصحيحين، حديث عمر رضي الله عنه: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. العمل الذي ينفع هو ما كان مصحوبا بالنية، نسأل الله العافية. هذا خلاصة هذا الحديث أو هذا الباب. وعبد العال نسمع من يتكلم.
We've reached the ninth chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed, which is entitled Slaughtering, what is mentioned in slaughtering to other than Allah. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, first mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, which might be translated as: say, indeed, my prayer and my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. There is no partner with Him, and with this I have been ordered, and I am the first of the Muslims. And also Allah's statement in Surah Al-Kawthar: فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, so pray to your Lord and sacrifice. The Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking refuge in Allah from the evils of our own selves and our own wicked deeds, by bearing witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, that he was sent as a mercy to all of humankind and all of the creation. And his purpose was to take the people out of the darkness of shirk into the light of Tawheed. And he indeed fulfilled that responsibility, and he left his nation, he left his followers upon a very clear path. So may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala commented on the title of the chapter, what has been mentioned concerning slaughtering to other than Allah. He says, what is the meaning of this chapter? Does this mean, what is this permissible, slaughtering to other than Allah? If a person wants to come closer to Allah, is it permissible to do this by slaughtering? And he said, what is mentioned in the verse, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, indeed my prayer, what is mentioned by salah in the verse, the prayer is ibadah, my worship. And nusuki, it means my slaughter. And this is what is slaughtered from the sheep and the goats and the likes of that, including camels and cows as well. And this should not be done except to Allah. This cannot be done except to Allah. No slaughtering can take place except for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah. In the verse which says, indeed my life and my death are for Allah, this means that I am a servant of Allah. I am Allah's possession. And I do not worship any other than Him. And I do not pray except for His pleasure and seeking His glorious face. If a human being were to pray for the sake of another person, to get closer to another person, that prayer would be invalid. Not only would it be invalid, but it would be a form of major shirk. And because of that, the person would enter into the hellfire. The part of the verse which says, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, that he has no partner. This is Allah placing emphasis on the fact that he has no partner. And this is not because of the choice that a servant has, that he has a choice. He can either choose to make partners with Allah or choose not to. No, this is a command from Allah, and there is no other option in the matter. The part of the verse which says, وَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I'm the first of the Muslims. This is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is being told to address his people. And they used to slaughter to other than Allah. And Allah is commanding us here to worship Him and to worship none other than Him. The second verse mentioned by the author rahimahullah ta'ala is, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّي, so pray to your Lord. So this includes the prayer, as mentioned in the verse, as well as sacrificing to the animals. Now there are two types of sacrifice that can take place. One can be as a pure act of worship, just for spilling the blood as an act of getting closer to Allah. The other type of sacrifice that can take place is if someone wants to eat the animal. So they slaughter the animal for food. In both ways, Allah's name must be mentioned at the time of slaughter. The person slaughtering must mention Allah's name at the time of slaughtering an animal. The Arabs, they used to have sacrifices that they would make, and they used to slaughter to other than Allah. This was committing shirk. And they used to do this to get closer to their awliya, which we might translate and say their saints, the people who they thought were righteous people. And they said that they only did this, they only got closer to their saints, so that their saints could help them get closer to Allah. And Allah negated this in saying, no, we cannot do anything to get closer to Allah through an intermediary. The believer must go straight and directly to Allah. Next in the text was mentioned the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who was the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me four things. He said that Allah has cursed whoever slaughters to other than Allah. Allah has cursed whoever curses his parents. Allah has cursed whoever grants refuge to a criminal. And Allah has cursed whoever changes the milestones in the street or the property. So this hadith was mentioned, was narrated by a Muslim. So the first part of the hadith, there are four things mentioned in the hadith. The first one is that Allah has cursed whoever slaughters to other than Allah. And whoever slaughters to other than Allah and dies without having repented from this, he will enter the hellfire. What is meant by la'anahu, or cursed him, means that he will prevent him from enjoying the mercy of Allah. And whoever has been prevented from enjoying the mercy of Allah, there is no hope for him whatsoever. In the times of Jahiliyyah, the days of pre-Islamic ignorance, the people used to slaughter to their statues. And in our present day, these days we are living in now, the people now, what do they slaughter to? They slaughter to the awliya, the saints, the righteous people who are dead. And they slaughter this and then distribute the meat as a form of making sadaqah in the name of this wali, in the name of this saint. So they give sadaqah in the name of this righteous person who has died. Whoever dies doing this without having seeking repentance, he will be of the eternal inhabitants of the fire who will never leave the hellfire. There will be other inhabitants of the fire who will be there for a temporary period of time, a short period of time. The people who are believers in Allah, they're Muslims, but they have some sins. Once they die, they will enter the hellfire, but only for a temporary period of time to be cleansed from their sins, and then they will enter the paradise. Some examples of these sins which might cause a believer to enter the fire are stealing, fornication and adultery, drinking alcohol, and other types of treachery and betrayal. And the one single type of treachery or betrayal that will never be forgiven is betraying Allah by committing shirk. So this is the first thing mentioned in the hadith, that Allah has cursed whoever has slaughtered other than Allah. The second thing mentioned, that Allah has cursed whoever curses his parents. There is no one after Allah and after His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam who has done more for people than their parents. And they have such a big virtue, the parents have such a big virtue, that Allah mentions them along with His virtue and several verses of the Quran. For example, Allah says, and worship Allah, and do not commit any partners with Him, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and treat your parents kindly. So right after mentioning the obligation of the believer to worship none other than Allah, He mentions what? The mention of the believer towards their parents, to treat them kindly. And Allah commands, saying, and give thanks to Me, and give thanks to your parents. When Allah has cursed someone, this is indeed a tremendous matter. Allah informs, or the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us here that Allah has cursed whoever curses his parents. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they heard this, they said, how can someone curse his own parents? How is this possible? Because the people in that time, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to treat their parents nice. It was part of the Arab customs and culture that they considered it a virtuous thing to treat one's parents nice. So they would do this. They didn't understand, how could a person possibly curse his own parents? And he said, the way that you curse your parents, or the way that a man curses his parents, is by cursing someone else's parents, and in turn that person will curse his parents. So if a man says to another man, may Allah curse your father, or may your father be cursed, in turn that man will say, may your father be cursed. And if a man says, may your mother be cursed, that man in turn will say, may your mother be cursed too. So the first man, by saying that to the second man, he was being a reason for his own parents being cursed. So this is what is meant by cursing one's parents. No one should ever say to their own parents or to anyone else's that may they be cursed. The third thing mentioned in the hadith is that Allah has cursed whoever has granted refuge to a criminal. So whoever has protected a criminal who has committed something which Islamically necessitates that he gets a punishment, this person is cursed. And if a person, the criminal, owes something to other people, has stolen something from them, and then a man comes along and hides him and protects him and helps him prevent those that property or those things from returning to their rightful owners, that man who helps the criminal, he has been cursed. The fourth thing mentioned in the hadith is that Allah has cursed whoever has changed the markings on the earth, or the milestones on the earth. And what does this mean? How can someone change the markings of the earth? What is meant here is that people in their property, they might have a fence, the marking that, okay, my property ends here, and my neighbor's property starts there. So, if a person were to take those stones or those things demarking where his property ended and push them forward a little bit to make his property bigger, or if he were to move them aside, he has changed the property, so he will become cursed by doing that. And the word that is used for the thing demarking the earth here is manar, and it comes from the word nur, which is light. And so it's as if these things marking people's property are a light showing what belongs to who. So these things marking whose earth belongs to who, these are very important, and this is why they cannot be changed. And these things that have been mentioned, they don't leave the realm of Tawheed, because treating when a servant is good in his treatment of his Lord by worshiping properly, and when he's good to the other creation by treating them nicely, this is all part of him being conscientious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and part of his worship. So not only is one's worship to Allah, their prayers and things, what gets them closer to them, but also a person's interactions with other people, this is part of their understanding and implementation of Tawheed. The final hadith mentioned in the text was on the authority of Tariq ibn Shihab. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a man entered the hellfire because of a fly. A man entered paradise because of a fly, and another man entered the hellfire because of a fly. And the companions asked, "How is this, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, "Two men walked by a group of people. This group of people, they had a statue, and they wouldn't let anyone pass by the statue except that they would have to sacrifice something to that statue. So that group of people said to one of the men, 'Sacrifice something.' He said, 'I don't have anything.' So they said, 'Sacrifice if it's only a fly, anything, only a fly.' So he sacrificed a fly for that statue, so they let him go. And because he did that, he entered the hellfire. Then the second man walked past that group of people and their statue, and they said the same thing to him, 'Sacrifice something.' What was his response? He said, 'I will never sacrifice anything to anyone other than Allah.' So they cut off his head. And because of that, he went to paradise." This hadith was mentioned, was related by Ahmad. So the first man, the man who actually did sacrifice the fly for the statue, he was a poor man. And he only did this to kind of avoid any problems with these people. He didn't really like this statue, but he just wanted to avoid problems with these people. So he just kind of went along with it and sacrificed to their statue. Because of this, he went to the fire. This hadith was, it's an authentic hadith. It was mentioned, by the way, of Tariq ibn Shihab on the authority of Salman al-Farisi, and it's mawquf upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Slaughtering to the awliya, the saints, the people in the graves. This is the issue mentioned here in the hadith. And, by the way, there is no one on the face of the earth. There is no one, there's never been anyone on the face of the earth like the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's been no one, no wali, no righteous person, as righteous as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in spite of that, it is not permissible to slaughter to his grave. It's not permissible to slaughter to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, he was so adamant about this, in spite of how righteous he was so adamant about people not committing shirk through him, that when the people said to him, "Ma sha Allah wa shit," this is what Allah has allowed and what you have allowed, he got mad, he got angry. He said, "Had you made me a partner with Allah?" He said, "Say, this is what Allah alone has allowed." Don't say what Allah and you have allowed, say what Allah alone has allowed. So the people who slaughter to the graves of the saints or the righteous people are committing a grave error. And this is one of the major forms of shirk. It is one of the things that Allah will never forgive. If a person dies committing a major form of shirk and they do not repent from it, they will not be forgiven. They will enter the hellfire. And we must comply with the legislation of Allah. As Allah tells us, that it is not befitting for the Prophet nor for those to believe to seek forgiveness for the polytheists even if they were relatives. So we have a right towards our relatives. However, if one of our relatives is to die and they're not Muslim, we cannot seek forgiveness for them after their death. The proof of this is that the uncle of the Prophet والسلام, Abu Talib, who used to defend the Prophet والسلام, even though he was not a Muslim, he used to defend him. And he used to prevent Quraysh from harming him. But when Abu Talib was on his deathbed, he had the Prophet والسلام, in his presence, and he had two of his companions in his presence. Abu Jahl was one of them. And the Prophet والسلام, wanting him to be saved before he died, he told him, "Oh my uncle, say La ilaha illallah. Say this word so that you can be saved from the fire." And these two terrible companions of his, they said to him, "Will you turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib?" So the last words that he said were, and he repeated this three times. The Prophet ﷺ repeated him, telling him, giving him three chances. You know, say this word, say this this statement of faith. But the last statement that Abu Talib made was that, "I am upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib." So he died as a disbeliever. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "I will continue seeking forgiveness for him as long as I am not forbidden." Then he was forbidden. And Allah revealed the verse which we just mentioned, forbidding the believers to seek forgiveness for anyone who died as a non-believer. So major shirk is the biggest sin. And when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, "Which sin is greatest?" he replied, "That you make an associate or a companion, a partner with Allah, and He is the one who created you." So Allah is the one who created everyone, and He had no partner in doing this, so He deserves to be worshipped without any partner. And it is Allah who has taken care of all of the needs of His creation, and it is because of this that He deserves to be worshipped. The final part of the text was the benefits which might be derived therefrom, and there are 13 points. The first is the explanation of the verse mentioned from Surah Al-An'am, "Qul inna salati wa nusuki," which was mentioned at the beginning, that say indeed my prayer, my sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds and humankind, everything in existence. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala commented on this, saying that indeed my prayer are only for Allah, and my sacrifice is only for Allah. And if someone wants to sacrifice an animal, whether they do this as a pure act of worship, or whether they do this because they want to eat the animal's meat, they can only do this by mentioning Allah's name. It is only halal to kill an animal by mentioning Allah's name. So if someone were to mention a name other than Allah's at the time of slaughtering, by mentioning the name of a saint or a righteous person, the meat from that animal would not be halal. It would be a big sin. It would be a major form of shirk. The second point is the verse mentioned from Surah Al-Kawthar. The third, and it is, "Fasalli li rabbika wanhar," pray to the Lord and sacrifice. The third point is that of those four things mentioned in the hadith, when the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed that four people had been cursed, who was the first one that he said? The first one was the person who slaughters to other than Allah. So these four people who have been cursed, and the first of them is whoever slaughters to other than Allah. Then after that is the person who cursed his own parents, placing emphasis on the importance of treating well one's parents, and then the third and fourth as we heard. The fourth point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that a person, whenever he will be cursed if he curses his own parents, and the way that he goes about cursing his own parents is if he insults another man by saying, "May your parents be cursed," so in turn that other man says, "No, may your parents be cursed." The fifth point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is the person is cursed if he gives refuge to a criminal. And this is if a criminal does something which necessitates an Islamic punishment. So then the person comes and grants him refuge and protects the authorities from getting him in the likes. If a criminal commits a sin which necessitates an Islamic punishment, then he repents from that sin, Allah becomes very happy. Allah is happy whenever one of His servants commits a sin and then repents to his Lord. And if this sin was between the servant and his Lord, it was only doing something by taking Allah's rights, as soon as the servant repents, then it's done. However, if he committed a crime which was between him and the other creation, such as stealing something from another person, in addition to making repentance between him and Allah, he must also rectify between him and that other person. So if he stole something from them, he must return it. The sixth point mentioned by the author is that the person has been cursed if they change the signposts in the earth, remarking whose property belongs to who. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala mentioned that the author was explaining this according to the dialect of the people in this part of the Arabian Peninsula. He used the word that the people of this part of the Arabian Peninsula used so that they could understand. And he said, what is meant by that word, Mirsan, is a thing that is placed in the art, placed in the earth, so that the people know that such and such's property ends here, and his neighbor's property begins here. So they used to use like tall rocks, and things, and they would also call these type of rocks, they would also call them a weapon, which is the word used for a statue. The seventh point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is the difference between cursing a certain individual and cursing a type of people who commit a sin. So it is permissible to say, may Allah curse whoever commits such and such sin. However, it's not permissible to say, may Allah curse this person, and then they say the name of that person. It's not permissible to say that. It's not permissible to say, may Allah curse this person. It's only permissible to say, may Allah curse whoever does this type of sin, and then he says that type of sin. The eighth point is how great this story is, which was mentioned, which was the story of the two men who passed by the statue, and one of them sacrificed a fly. Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, a fly is worthless. There's absolutely no benefit in a fly. You can't even eat it. And in spite of that, the people who worship of this idol was so great in their hearts that they would accept any type of worship, even a small thing. And this is what is not forgiven, to have this vineyard in one's heart for something that is more than one's love and fear and hope of Allah. And this is what prevents someone from entering Jannah. And he said that the individual who actually slaughtered this fly, he only did so to kind of avoid the harm of these people. And Allah has mentioned that whoever has said a statement of disbelief, but his heart is filled with faith, then he's still a believer. He's pronouncing the statement, doesn't actually change his faith in what's in his heart. However, if a person is to commit one of the major acts of shirk, will he be forgiven? Is there an excuse for him? The shirk says no. There is no excuse for a person who worships other than Allah. Person who performs an act of worship other than Allah, even though he's ignorant, he will not be forgiven for this. However, if the person were to leave off an act of worship out of ignorance, this could be forgiven. For example, if a non-Muslim were to hear about Islam and he believed in the message, and in his heart he was believing, but no one ever told him about Salah, so he didn't pray, this would be forgiven. However, committing an act of prayer to someone other than Allah, or sacrificing to other than Allah, committing this act, this is the thing that will not be forgiven. The tenth point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is knowing the amount, or knowing how great shirk and polytheism is in the heart of the believers, and how much they used to have patience, how patient they were upon not committing shirk. Because the believers of past nations, they would not give up their belief even if they were told that they were going to be killed. In the past, the believing nations, the disbelievers would come to them and they would take like a hot steel comb and they would rip their skin off. They would rip the skin and the meat right down to the bones, and still, and it would kill them by doing this, but still they would not say with their mouth that they're a disbeliever. And other believing nations, the people would come to them and say, either you disbelieve, or we're going to take this saw and cut you in half. And indeed, they wouldn't disbelieve. They would never pronounce a word of shirk. They would never let the word of shirk leave their tongues because of how great and how fearful they were of committing it and not entering the fire, and not entering the paradise. The 12th point mentioned by the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that paradise is closer to one of you than his own shoestring. And the hellfire is also that close. This means that a person who is doing the acts of the righteous believer, he is so close to entering paradise, it's like his own shoestring. He's that close, the only thing preventing him from entering the paradise is for his time, the time of his death to come. Likewise, the person who is living a lifestyle of worshipping other than Allah, committing shirk, doing sins, he's so close to the hellfire that it's as if he can reach out and touch it. It's just like as close as his own shoestring. And the third and final point mentioned by the author is that the actions of the heart, those actions of worship that take place in the heart, this is the main thing. This is what is meant, and this is the crux of Tawheed. Both with the believers and the disbelievers. So the believers, the main thing is having a pure heart. And also with the disbelievers, the main thing that separates them from us is the actions that they commit with their hearts. And this is the end of the explanation of the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala. قول السائل إذا عمل الكافر عمل خير للناس هل يجوز مدحه؟ إذا عمل الكافر عمل خير للناس هل يجوز مدحه؟
إذا عمل إنسان عمل انتفع به الناس يجوز مدحه، لكن لا على أنه سبب دخول الجنة إلى، لأن الكافر مهما عمل يوم القيامة وقدمنا إلى ما عمل من عمل قد جعلناه هباء منثورا. أما لو عمل عملا خيرا ثم أسلم لكن عمله وهو المسلم هذا ينفعه، وفي حديث حكيم بن حزام رضي الله عنه سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أمور كنت أتحنث بها في الجاهلية من عتق العبيد مصدقات وإشعان جائع، فقال أسلمت على ما أسلمت، لكن يموت على الكفر لا يقال هذا مؤمن، هذا خير من فلان المؤمن، لا، وإنما يقال هذا محب مكارم الأخلاق، محب الجود، الذي قال عن حاكم طيب لما قال كفره سفانه أن عبي كان يفعل وما يفعل بذكر سفانة، كان يقال قال إن باها يحب مكارم الأخلاق ولو كان مؤمنا لترحمنا عليه.
The question is it, if a kafir does something beneficial, is it permissible to praise him and his work? The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala responded saying, if someone is to do something beneficial for humankind, it's permissible to speak highly of them. However, it's not permissible to say that they're going to enter paradise because of this, because they're disbelievers. They're disbelievers, they're never going to enter the paradise, regardless of how many good deeds they do for humankind. Allah says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we have approached the deeds that they've done, and we'll make them just like scattered dust particles in the air. So whatever good deeds they do, and then in the afterlife they'll be of no consequence. So, however, if a person was to do good deeds, if a disbeliever were to do good deeds, then accept Islam, this would benefit him. As we know from the hadith of Hakim and Hizam, that he said to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, you know, I used to do some good things for people, you know, in Jahiliyyah before I was a Muslim. You know, I used to free slaves and I used to give charity to the people and I used to feed poor people and the likes. So the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded saying that you have accepted Islam upon that which you used to do. Meaning that you won't lose those good deeds. Those good deeds that you used to do, they're waiting for you in your account. Okay, if a disbeliever were to be doing good things for humankind and then accept Islam, that would be more good deeds in their account. And it should not be said that such and such disbeliever who does good things for people, it should not be said that he's better than so and so, the believer. It should not be said that such and such is better than a believer just because he does kind acts to people. And this is mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ that there was a man named Had in a flight. He used to do, you know, kind things for people. And when the Prophet ﷺ saw his daughter, the daughter of this man, he said that, you know, this girl's father used to love good deeds, and had he accepted Islam, it would have been great. صلى الله عليه وسلم هل يجوز لعن الكافر المعين
ولا يجوز لعن المعين إلا إذا كان داعية بدعة ذات شر مقصود فيها لعن إلا يقال إن مات على ذلك فهو في النار يعني مات على ما هو عليه في الدنيا فهو من أهل
الله يعني كل البدع يعني من المسلم
لا المسلم لا ينص عليه اللعن لأن اللعن ما نفترض من رحمة الله لكن يقال لعن الله السارق يعني من المسلمين لعن الله كما ذكر النبي لعن الله من لعن والديه هذا الذي غير مناراخ الأرض المراسيل يعني هو غيرها وهو مسلم لكن يعني قد يلعن ثلاث أشخاص ذنوب مختلفة فأحد يكون مخلدا في النار وأحد يكون ارتكب ذنبا يستوجب عقوبة وطرد من رحمة الله حتى ينقى الذي قال من مات لا يشرك بالله دخل الجنة فقال أبو ذر وإن زنى وإن سرق قال النبي وإن زنى وإن سرق فكررها ثلاث مرات النبي يكررها أبو ذر في الثالثة قال النبي له وإن زنى وإن سرق وإن رغم أنف أبي ذر رضي الله عنه يعني العمل الذي يقتضي تخليد الواحد في النار إنه هو الشرك.
The question was, is it permissible to curse an individual who is a non-Muslim? Shaykh Ridwan Ta'ala said it's not permissible unless this person is calling to evil and innovation. And then it is only said he will be cursed if he dies upon that action. So if he dies upon doing that, then he will be in the fire. And so I asked him, you know, how about if this person's a Muslim? He said that a Muslim, you should not say that a Muslim, that a certain individual, this person so and so, is cursed. However, as is in the hadith, that may Allah curse the thief. Allah curse the thief. So you can say, may whoever does this sin, may they be cursed. As is mentioned in the hadith, that whoever changes the markings on the earth, that they will be cursed. And it's possible that there will be three people who are all cursed, but one of these three people who is cursed will be in the hellfire forever. And one of them will be taken away from the mercy of Allah. And however, if they were to die upon belief, anyone who dies regardless of their sins, regardless of how great or how many a person's sins are, if they die as a believer, as a Muslim, even if they're punished temporarily in the hellfire, they will eventually go to paradise. As in the hadith which was mentioned, which was related by Abu Dharr, the Prophet ﷺ says, you know, every believer will enter the paradise. He said, even if they committed adultery and fornication and they were a thief, the Prophet ﷺ said, even if they committed adultery and fornication and they were a thief. And it was hard for Abu Dharr to believe, so he repeated his question three times. So the Prophet responded with the same response three times. Even if they commit adultery and fornication and they're a thief, they're going to enter the paradise eventually. And after he repeated that the third time, he said, even if Abu Dharr doesn't like it. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, whenever he would mention this hadith, he would add on that statement at the end. He would say, they're going to enter the paradise even if Abu Dharr doesn't like it. But what is the point that we should understand here is that the soul, the only action that will prevent a person, that will mean that a person is cursed, meaning that they will never enter the paradise, the only action that necessitates this is committing major shirk.
وقد يكون بعض الذي بعض اللاتي يشترين الملابس لا يلتزمون بالحجاب الشرعي. هل يجوز بيع ملابس النساء؟
أولا لا يجوز الإنسان أن يجعل تجارته في ألبسة محرمة، يعني كأن تكون الألبسة التي تشتريها النساء لا تستر. لا يكون مساعدا للمرأة لتحصل على ما تريد مما لا يحل لها أن تلبسه، فإذا فعل ذلك يكون آثما، والمعين على ارتكاب المعصية يكون شريكا في إثم تلك المعصية.
Question is it permissible to sell women's clothing, and maybe some of the buyers may not observe the correct hijab? Shaykh al-Fahm responded, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, saying that it's not permissible for a person to make his business selling clothing which is haram, clothing which does not cover the woman's body. And a person should not help women dress improperly in a manner that is not permissible for them to dress, because if they were to do so, they would be committing a sin. And whoever helps someone else commit a sin, he is also committing a sin. إذا صلوه عليكم إذا ما علم الكافر أنه يجب عليه أن يسلم وإن لا دخل النار هل أن يعذر؟
لا يعذر. الكافر إذا لم يسلم لا يقول ما علمت بالإسلام، إذا كان يعمل الأعمال الشركية، فلو فرض أن كافرا ما علم عن الإسلام شيئا لكن ما كان يشرك، لا يذبح لغير الله، لا يدعو غير الله، هذا إذا كان حقيقة لم يعلم شيء ومات ولا علم سمع باسم الإسلام، هذا يمتحن يوم القيامة اختبار. أما من سمع بالإسلام ولم يسأل عنه لا يعلم.
The question is, if someone does not know that you should be a Muslim, does he get put in hellfire or Jannah? Shaykh Fidlallahu Ta'ala says that that the kafir, the disbeliever, is not excused if he does not enter into Islam. And he should not say that, I didn't know.
This is the disbeliever who does actions of shirk. So even if a person never heard about the Messenger of Islam, if he is calling upon other than Allah, worshipping other than Allah, slaughtering to other than Allah, he will never enter into the paradise. However, there might be a disbeliever who never heard anything about Islam. And also, he doesn't commit actions of shirk. He doesn't think dua to other than Allah, he doesn't slaughter to other than Allah, he doesn't worship other than Allah. This person, who never heard about Islam, and never worshipped other than Allah, they will be given a test on the Day of Judgment. If they pass the test, they will be given, you know, an option. Faith will be presented to them. If they accept, the truth, they enter the paradise. And if they don't, then they enter the fire.
أدخل فيه ما ليس منه
كان
لا هنا الحمد لله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم لم يكن بدون شيء لكن يدخله في الكتاب وليس منه ولا يحلم عليه حلاله في حاله هذا هو التفصيل ليس الأصل شيخ الإسلام في أول ما جاء بسم الله الرحمن بعده قال كتاب القرآن فهذه توهم كأن هذا من النفس لو وضع الشيخ الإسلام بس لأنه كان بيش لكن ما له دخل في الأرض الكلام
شيخ said that there is at the beginning of the book
الكتاب لا يكون عندهم كلهم أو لا أو الكتاب هذا ما عندهم كلهم
لا
أكثرهم عند الكتاب نسخة صغيرة
أحسن
بارك الله فيكم جميعا وجعلنا جميعا من الذين يعملون بما يعلمون من الخير ويكفون أنفسهم عن الشر وأن ينفعنا جميعا بما علمنا وأن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا
May Allah bless all of us and you, and may Allah grant us righteous knowledge, beneficial.